The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action and a super Saturday in prospect as well, with British Champions Day from Ascot. We've also got Cheltenham, we've got Catterick and Kelso alongside that in the afternoon, and Wolverhampton in the evening. A really good Saturday of racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
Hi, Mark Walton.
Are you well?
Yeah, not too bad, buddy.
Good. We're going to get Ross's thoughts on the three Group 1s from Ascot. A great card there with five pattern races, two Group 2s and three Group 1s. So we'll get Ross's thoughts there. And then later on we'll be hearing from Catherine Fry, who's going to give us her best bets on the card at Cheltenham. But before we get stuck into all of that, Ross, barring the ground and the weather,
yeah,
what a day we have in prospect.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Informed opinion here on the William Hill Racing Podcast. I'm excited, Ross.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm very excited. It's a bit frustrating, isn't it? The old weather lark.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, the nights are drawing in and all that. It's a bit odd, isn't it? The whole concept of the Champions Day right at the back end of the season. And I can kind of see the point of it. And they're trying... You know, they're going for the Cheltenham of the flat, as it were. The thing with Cheltenham is that there's not a lot goes on before that. Whereas the flat season is long and arduous, and a lot of these horses that are turning up have had pretty testing seasons. Not all of them, admittedly, and it gives you another target to aim for. But I mean, there's quite a large number of high profile absentees from the Champions Day lineup. However, that hasn't necessarily meant that we don't have some fantastic racing in prospect. Obviously you could reel off a handful of names, most notably Kingman and Australia, who have both retired to their yacht in the the Côte d'Azur or whatever these horses do.
I'm sure that's what they do.
I'm pretty sure that, at least for a few months anyway.
Yeah.
Go and hang out with celebs. But
tell about the Brit Awards.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Why not? You know, the Groucho Club, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And have expensive dinners, just caviar at some Michelin-starred stables. But we've got some very good horses in opposition against each other. So it could be better. It could definitely be better. However, it's not the disappointment that many people have been talking it up to be over the past few weeks. I mean, the ground is frustrating because I just don't think any horse ever wants heavy ground.
No, and the problem is it is heavy,
it's
soft
proper,
in places.
So. Yeah, and Ascot gets a real slog.
Mm.
Interesting to see how they ride the round course as well, because in past seasons, such a Royal Ascot, when we've had a couple of Royal Ascots over the past few years where the first 2 days have been all right and then it's rained and it's gone soft and the inside rail on the round course has been a real dead rail, so anything coming wide and down the centre into the home straight has had a distinct advantage. Be interesting to see if jockeys pick up on that or whether it unfolds again. But some very good racing. Lots to look forward to.
Yeah. And as mentioned, Ross is going to look at the three Group 1s for us, and the first of them is the 2:55. We start our podcast with the Kipco British Champions Fillies and Mare Stakes. It's over a mile and a half, and we have betting on site as well for all of these races, and Silk Sari is currently the 9-2 market leader, 5-1 for Cubanita. Albashara is 11-2, Hadartha also 11-2, Chiquita is 6s, 13-2 for Seal of Approval, and then 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. Silk Sari arrives here in pretty good nick, Ross, chasing the hat-trick. Mm. Sierra's the one to beat.
Well, I suppose, to an extent. I don't think there is one to beat here in this race.
Yeah.
It's that kind of race, really. She was pretty damn impressive at Doncaster in the Park Hill Stakes. Best form has come at the likes of Doncaster and Newbury, though, where she can get into a good rhythm down those long home straights. Nice big galloping track. Whether she's going to be able to get into that same rhythm in heavy ground round Ascot against the best horses she's faced by quite some considerable distance remains to be seen. It does ask her another question of her. She hasn't won, or she hasn't even raced really in ground anywhere near this bad, so that is a slight question mark for her. But she does come into it in great form, and as I said, she was very, very impressive at Doncaster. And her extra stamina is sure to suit, given the testing conditions.
Yeah.
This is it's a pretty tricky race, though. I mean, Seal of Approval's intriguing, won this race last year in very similar conditions. Has not really had a particularly enjoyable season, but she's the one that's proven over this course and distance in this ground here, So you couldn't entirely rule her out. Chiquita is clearly talented, if not very wayward mentally. I just do not know what to make of her. So, as I said, she tried to desperately to throw it away in the Irish Oaks last year, but she's clearly got a whole heap of ability. Which leaves us with Cubanita and Albashara, really. I'd probably end up backing Cubanita each way, even though she's had more chances than this lot. But she's absolutely guaranteed to handle these conditions. She loves a slog in the mud over a mile and a half. Whereas in contrast, Albashara was hugely impressive at Newmarket the day. She is a Group 1 filly. It's just whether it's going to come 7 days later, over two furlongs further, in very, very testing ground.
Yeah, it's a tough ask, isn't it?
Whether it's been a plan or whether she was so impressive last week, they thought, hey, why not? Cubanita, however, has conditions very much in her favour and is going to be hard to kick out of the frame, that's for sure.
Okay, Cubanita each way then in the Fillies and Mare Stakes. The next race we'll look at is the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes, sponsored by Kipco. It's a Group 1. It's part of the British Champions Series as well. It's the British Champions Mile. And it's for three-year-olds and older. And the betting is headed by Knight of Thunder, who's 9-4. It's 11-4 for Charm Spirit. Integral is 11-2. 13-2 for Custom Cut. Top Notch, Tonto and Tullius are both 10s. And then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Knight of Thunder sprung a surprise in the 2,000 guineas all the way back earlier on in the season. Hasn't won since. Do you think 9-4 is a bit short about him?
Possibly, but I think he'll win. So,
okay. So no then.
Well, no, because if you offer me 1-7, I still wouldn't back him, even if I thought he would win. Is 9-4 too short? Good question. I don't think this is that good a race, really.
Yeah.
When you look at it, if you go from the back to the front, as it were, Graphic, King's Bars, Tormore's lost it. Captain Cat, not sure he's going to really handle conditions. Brendan Bracken's not really up to this. Tullius has been put in his place his last couple of starts. Top Notch Tonto very much handles conditions, but I get the feeling last year was his year in terms of progression. Custom Cut, I want Custom Cut to win because I just love this horse. I haven't made a penny off him this season. I haven't backed him at all, but he's just impressed me the way he just keeps going. And it doesn't matter what track you run him at. It doesn't matter what kind of ground conditions. It doesn't matter whether he gets three or four taking him on for the lead. He just keeps going. So Custom Cut, I want Custom Cut to win. I think Integral's got to step up. So it's probably between Knight of Thunder, Charm Spirit and Custom Cut. I think Knight of Thunder's the best horse. Did spring a surprise in the guineas. Got the race run to suit, really, and got a great ride off Kieran Fallon. Since then, didn't get a good ride to try and beat Kingman in the St. James's Palace. However, he had no chance anyway. The Eclipse was a bizarre move, really. I don't really know why they went for that race. And the race wasn't run to suit in any way, shape or form.
No.
And in two more strides, he would have won at Longchamp. So if you remove the Eclipse, he's finished first, second and third in three Group 1s, one of which he could have won as well, and the other which, where he was up against the best horse we've seen since Frankel. So in about a year or two. I think he's got a very solid profile. He's unbeaten in soft ground as well. He's won both his starts in soft. He's gonna take a lot of beating here. I think I probably would back him at the 9-4 sort of 5-2 mark, I think. Because I just don't think there's a lot in here, really. Yeah. I'd like Custom Cut to win. It'd be a great an end to an incredible season for him. But I just think Knight of Thunder's got conditions to suit. He's drawn in 10. He's going to have to switch off for the back, so I don't think that's necessarily a problem. So, yeah, I think Knight of Thunder will win.
Okay. And going through them there, he is the Group 1 standout there, isn't he? I mean, a lot of these haven't quite got to the very top level.
Yeah, I mean, Charm Spirits won his last two in Group 1 company, but he was put in his place by Night of Thunder in the Guineas.
Yeah.
But again, he's got a very good record in Soft Ground as well. I just thought that Night of Thunder might well have beat him last time out, and I think he might well beat him here.
Okay. On to the final race, we're going to look at the 405 at Ascot, the Kipco Champion Stakes, which is a Group 1 over a mile and a quarter. Some very illustrious names in the previous winners list of this, including Sarista Zegler, who's back for another tilt at the race and heads the betting at 5-4. 3-1 for Free Eagle, Noble Mission is 9-2, 8-1 for Ruler of the World, and then 14s or bigger prices for the others. The real star names, that might be a bit harsh actually, but the big high profile names that we could have had in here haven't turned up. Sarista Zegler's been there and done it in the last few years. Free Eagle is very much an up and coming colt, and Noble Mission trying to follow in his brother's footsteps, and Ruler of the World the only other one in single figure prices. Ross, what do you make of this year's Champion Stakes?
It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it
clearly could be better. As you said, there are a couple of very notable absentees, but you've got to love Sinister's Eagles. Big fan of him. It's hard not to be, really. His soft ground form is incredible. His 10 furlong form is incredible. He's also got a fantastic record second time. He comes on massively for his first run, and he won and was disqualified, obviously, in the pre-dollar at Ark Weekend, where I think that was probably the right decision, really. He knocked fractional sideways. He probably would have finished second, but like I said, he does come on massively for his first run of after a break, and he'd had a few months off. He's got course form round here. His record, of course, over here at Ascot is a win and 2 seconds, and from 4 starts. And his only disappointing run was over a mile and a half in the King George on fast ground, which couldn't have suited him any less, really. So he's got perfect conditions. He'll either win or he'll get narrowly beaten by an improver.
Yeah,
I mean, you just can't see him running a bad race. I mean, I was saying earlier about one back at Night of Thunder at 1-7, but give me a short price about Sirius Zegel finishing the 3, and it'd still look attractive, even though he is an eight-year-old now. He's won 6 Group 1s. The rest of them between have won 7. So he's clearly the horse to beat,
yeah,
without a shadow of a doubt. But Free Eagle, Noble Mission could beat him, potentially. I mean, Free Eagle, I know this sounds weird, but he won at Leopardstown, and I've never seen a horse come around a bend so smoothly. I know that's an odd observation to make, but I actually went and I watched it back like 3 times because I couldn't quite work out how he got from that end of the bend to this end of the bend so quickly. It was almost as in 2 strides. Yep. He was from fourth into second, and then he quickened past the leader and passed well enough behind him and went, oh, I've won this by sort of 7 or 8 lengths. And the worry for me is that, is he going to replicate that in heavy ground? That would be the slight worry, whether that burst of acceleration is going to come.
Yeah. Well, that is the worry, isn't it? He's only ever raced on good or good to firm, so he's a very much heavy ground is a massive imponderable.
It is. I mean, his half-sister Sapphire handles soft ground. Yeah. His half-brother Custom Cut handles soft ground. So there's definite claims in his pedigree. And Amber Romance. In fact, every single one of his relatives has won in pretty testing ground.
It's not an imponderable at all, then.
Well, it is, in the sense that he hasn't done it.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
But he should be all right with it. I mean, he's a hugely exciting horse. I can't wait to see him. I just hope that it doesn't get dulled in the ground, yeah, and that he turns up as well, because Dermot Weld said he'd walk the track first. And Noble Mission as well, a huge season he's had. Real late developer. This, again, 10 furlongs on very soft ground is going to be perfect for him. He was a little bit unlucky at Munich last time out. He probably should have won that as well. Things just didn't quite go to plan, and he was chinned on the line by Lucky Lion, who's no back number himself. But if he'd have won that, that'd have been 5 races on the bounce this season, including 3 Group 1s, which is similar to what Al Ghazim did last year. You know, a horse sort of hits 4 or 5, and I mean, this is when flat horses are peaking, and the amount of them that retire before they even get to see how good they could have been is a little bit disappointing. So, Noble Mission's a fascinating contender. The front three in the betting, those three taking each other on, is actually a fantastic little race in prospect.
Yeah.
Sirius Zegel's the one to beat. I think I'm very excited about seeing Free Eagle, but if I had to have a bet, I'd back Noble Mission to place. I think that would be the simplest one. I think he's another. You could have a a kind of an each way double or treble, you know, Night of Thunder. The ones I've said, Night of Thunder, Cuban Eater and Noble Mission. I'd be surprised if those three are out of the frame. Whether they win or not is another matter.
Yeah. And just even as an each way bet, 92 is not the worst price you're going to get about a Magotty each way bet.
True.
And he's going to go out in front, isn't he, as well now? So you're going to get a run for your money. He's going to be out in front. It's going to be a case of whether the others can catch him in the heavy ground. So
yeah, tactics would be, yeah. I wouldn't like to see him really gunned from the front round here. I mean, he has improved with his forcing tactics this year. I suppose that is a slight worry because I don't really like to see them do that round Ascot. But the more we've talked about it, the better the racing looks. I know it's great anyway, but like I said, it's very easy in the racing game to all be all doom and gloom and we should have had five or six horses turn up for this and we've only got two Group One horses. It was good.
It would turn into quite a story as well, wouldn't it, if he were to win it, being Frankel's brother, of course.
Well, it could be a day, you know, it's a day for the families. That Free Eagle and Custom Cut are both running, and Sapphire won on this card a couple of years ago as well. So
it's a family affair.
Good. Well, let's have a quick summary of your thoughts on Ross before you go.
Yeah, good stuff. Heavy ground is going to be a big problem for a lot of them, but I think Cuban Eater in the Phillies race, Night of Thunder in the QE2, and Noble Mission, at least, to hit the frame in the Champions Stakes.
Okay, fantastic. Great day in prospect at Ascot. Good luck, Ross, and enjoy it on Saturday.
I will, and you should too.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ross Briley on Champions Day at Ascot. Then we also have some very good racing coming from Cheltenham on the second day of their showcase meeting. So a good Saturday in prospect. And Catherine Fry is going to give us her thoughts on the action at Cheltenham on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, I'm getting there, thanks, Mark. On the road back to full health.
Good stuff. A bit of racing at Cheltenham will pick your spirits up anyway.
Yeah, I'd absolutely love to be, obviously, just up the road. But I'll be back at Cheltenham for the Paddy Power. I'm just going to sit this one out and watch it on TV.
Good stuff. Before we get stuck into Cheltenham, a little bit of breaking news with regards to the National Hunt game. We won't see Might and Ayoz this season. A tendon injury is going to rule him out for the year.
Yeah, literally just reading that on the website there before we started talking, Mark. Yeah, I believe Might and Ayoz. Obviously the horse has just got so much ability, but I've always, ever since he kind of, I thought when he was second to Champagne Fever and the Supreme in 2013, there was just a little bit of something about his head carriage that I didn't like. I thought he ducked it, and I kept saying this, and people were like, no. And then obviously you saw it to great effect air at the back end of last season. But he, there's no doubting his ability at all and his talent. So it is a great shame, because I'm sure if you could straighten his head out, he's second in Champion Hurdler. You would be looking at a Champion Hurdler. That's the only thing wrong in my opinion is his head. I'm not sure he quite wants to fight, but hopefully he recovers from this and we see him back next season.
Yes, that is the only problem. If they could get him to settle, he would be a machine, wouldn't he? The good news for the yard though is that Sprinter Sakura apparently went like a bullet when he was schooled over six brush hurdles at Seven Barrows. So they might have my turn or yours, but if Sprinter Sakura comes back in good health, then that's a real bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, let's hope he does. Just sort of reading there that he'd actually been schooling Bobsworth as well, and I think Bobsworth is going to start off in the Hennessy. It's great time of year, Mark, isn't it? You're sort of really, really turning your attentions to the jumping game now, and you've almost got the weather to match. looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's get stuck into the action at Cheltenham on Saturday then. You've picked out three races for us, and the first of them is the 2:35, which is the Marie Curie Cancer Care Handicap Chase. It's a Class 2 handicap chase over 2.5 miles, and we've got quite a competitive 11 runner lineup here. And which ones are on the shortlist, Catherine?
I think obviously the presence of contenders like Champion Court and Clara Cloak, they do make you sit up and take notice, but unfortunately I just won Champion Court. I think his best days are behind him. He's not really sort of, last season obviously the thought of him as a Paddy Power contender, disappointed in that, and then I'm not really sure what's quite gone wrong with Champion Court, but something has, and I think you know, you, maybe you were just talking about my talent or yours a little bit in the head. I just wonder now if sort of things are a little bit in his head. It's Claret Cloak, again, look, there's no doubting that horse's talent, but I, you know, people go on about Claret Cloak, and I've sort of, you know, people I respect and have said that they, you know, they think the horse is really something else, and I can see it, but I just think that the horse is a bit of a chancer, to be honest with you. So I couldn't rely on those, as talented as they are and as great as, you know, a horse like Champion Court has been, I couldn't really rely on it. I have to go back to my old friend John Spirit. Obviously, it's a bit different from when he won this race last year off 129, then landed the Paddy Power off 139. He's on a mark of 147 now. It was the Paddy Power winner last year, fourth at the festival in the Burn Group Plate. I think he is heading back to the Paddy Power to defend his title, so obviously this is the natural starting point. But I know you're talking about a horse that absolutely loves Cheltenham. He can throw in the odd mistake, but what I've noticed, especially when he won this last year, what Richie McLernan does, he takes him round the outside, and he's able to make that kind of like sweeping move. You've got a horse that'll handle the track, and the rest of them in there, you know, you can, horses like Eric's, again, horse of a great natural ability, but he has his problems as well. He put in a terrible run at Kempton last year and then comes out and wins. You know, he's too on and off the boil. May well go and win, but I can't trust him. Same says horses like Astrakad and Akatak. They tend to turn up in these events all the time, but, you know, may fill a place. But, again, you can't really rely on them. I did sort of look briefly at So On Target. Again, he's a horse that does act around Cheltenham. He was third in this race last year. He was then second to Annie Turge at the open meeting. But if he couldn't land this off 127 last year, he's on 132 now. I can't really see him sort of landing it now. And I do think that this is possibly a stronger contest than last year. The horse, if I could sort of be confident that Ben Is Miss would act around Prestbury Park, I would kind of almost be looking at him as well, who obviously he was second in the Topham to Marfaloo. But in his two runs at Cheltenham, I'm not really convinced that he likes the place, but I will be watching him sort of closely to see if he does. So it's kind of by process of elimination, really, that I would go with last year's winner, John Spirit, even though he is on a much higher mark. It was kind of like an act of God, really, how he managed to have a mark of 129 and then 139 last year. I don't think that this is enough to stop him, really.
Okay, John Spirit then, to win the race for a second year in a row there in the 235 at Cheltenham. Moving on to the 310 next, and this is a Class 2 hurdle over the extended 2 miles, and some interesting runners in here. Paul Nichols has won this race for the last 2 years with Sametigal and Dodging Bullets. He has Calypto in the lineup in this year's renewal. We've also got Tiger Roll, who is another one that could turn into a nice horse this season. What are your thoughts here?
I was so impressed with Tiger Roll last year. I think to win a Triumph as he did on only his third start, you know, he didn't have any sort of starts on the flat. He literally sort of had a race and he went to the Spring Juvenile at Leopardstown and then he won the Triumph. And I think to do that was a sign of a real tough cookie. I think you can forgive him the Punchestown run at the, well, it was almost the start, really, of the National Hunt season. Sounds weird, I know, the end of the Irish National Hunt season, but it's obviously kind of counted as almost the start as well. I just think you can put a line through that. He'd left, obviously, Cheltenham had left quite a mark at him, and no surprise, really, he's only his third start, but to actually come out and, I mean, a horse like Guitar Pete, that is so tough. And then Guitar Pete went on one at Aintree. You know, he did put him in his place at Cheltenham. And I thought, wow, okay, then that's a horse of real conviction. I'm actually very interested in looking at Tiger Roll as a maybe not this season as a champion hurdler, but as a future champion hurdler. Obviously, you know, he's got the sort of small matter of a horse like Fahin to deal with in the 2015 champion hurdle. And, yeah, he's got, look, he'll have the 5-year-old stat against him, which obviously doesn't really, when you look at horses like See You Then and Catch It, but it does tend to go against them. But I am looking at him in that calibre. So, really, if I'm looking at him in his calibre, then he should pick this lot up and carry them. But Ballyglasheen, I think, is a very interesting horse, very well bred. And it seemed to be sort of something of a shock when he won at Cheltenham in December. But and it did look as though that was something as a fluke. But then he came out and won the Swinton in Desperate Ground in May. That was off 1.35. He's up 10 now, 1.45. And I think sort of Tiger Roll and Ballyglasheen are sort of closely matched on a form line with Kentucky Hyden. Obviously, they've beaten Kentucky Hyden. Ballyglasheen beat him at Cheltenham in December, and Tiger Roll beat him in the Triumph. I do like Ballyglasheen, and I think that if we are due to get an awful lot of rain here overnight, and it's due to be an awful lot of rain before racing tomorrow, that will suit Ballyglasheen down to the ground. You mentioned Calypto then. Yeah, I was seriously impressed with him. A couple of starts last year in Newbury, twice where he beat Actavel, and then he went on to win in Newbury in February. Obviously fourth in the Triumph and third to Guitar Pete at Aintree. But I think really sort of, you know, the other two, you're kind of, you can, I mean, you should never say you can rule them out, but I think you probably can rule them out of it. I think, you know, it's between the front three, and if Tiger Roll is the horse I think he is, then he will win. I know he's sort of going to be quite prohibitive odds, but I am looking at him as a future champion hurdler.
Okay, Tiger Roll then to win that and maybe go on to bigger and better things in the future. The 3.45 is the final race we're going to look at. This is the Showcase Trophy, which is a handicap chase over 3 miles and 1 furlong. And we have 14 of them in the lineup. A very competitive field as well, probably going to be somewhere like 72, 4-1 the field. So what are your thoughts in the 3.45?
I like this race.
I'm glad you do. I think it's wide open.
It is absolutely wide open. If we just touch on a few, I think Lebec is a real tough cookie. Obviously he won at the open meeting last year, and Loves Cheltenham was second to Sam Winner there back there in December. Lavelle Yard did have a winner the other day at Exeter. I think the one thing, obviously he's got an awful lot of weight to carry, and there's some rivals right down there at the bottom of the weights that we'll come to in a minute that I think are very interesting. So what is putting me off is the fact that he's carrying the 11-12. And the one also another thing that is putting me off is that it's not so much the fall in the RSA. He was still travelling very well when he came down in the RSA. And it's 4 out he came down. It's just that I think the RSA is a real, real tough race, and it does tend to leave its mark on horses. Obviously, we're limited for time here, but if you go back in the history of the race, you've got an awful lot of horses that kind of don't go on. Obviously, the ones that do, but there are an awful lot of horses that don't go on or sort of have problems after. Obviously, you've got a Feelings Boy, the winner, obviously, is on the sidelines at the moment. Not that you can attribute that back, but it does leave its mark. And I think to carry top weight here as well, I wouldn't be with him for those reasons, but I respect him an awful lot. I think he's a very, very talented individual. Love the mare, Me and Ben. Obviously, she goes to the paddocks in February. Had a, sort of really been cleaning up sort of during the summer months. She won a listed contest at the April meeting in Cheltenham. She won at the Stoles. She was placed at the Galway Festival. If you think that she started off, well, in April she was on a mark of 108 and she's on a mark of 130 now. It's sort of, you know, it's quite a rise through the ranks. Got Montperrin, obviously, for Paul Nichols. He won at Cheltenham in April, where he beat his stablemate Cyclones, who lines up against him here. Cyclones obviously won the race in 2012, mixes the old cross country in as well. Now I'm never too sure of what goes on in his head, but has the talent. I read something in the week that Your Busy was only going to travel over if the ground was decent. Now I know obviously we're saying it's good, good in places, good soft, but we have had an awful lot of rain in Cheltenham this week. It's a beautiful day out there at the moment, but we have had an awful lot of rain. More rain on the way, and Your Busy does like top of the ground. Really, he has run with credit on heavy ground, but I would be, even though he's won a Kerry National at the age of 11, won a Killarney National as well in the summer. Does mix hurdling and chasing, but I think come tomorrow you're possibly going to see that the ground would have gone against him. The horse that does interest me an awful lot is number 13, right down the bottom, Standing Ovation. Really caught my eye. I was a fan of this horse anyway, but he really did catch my eye at the festival. I looked back in my race card, sort of prepped for this, and I'd sort of put a ring around his name. He rattled off a hat-trick this time last year, and he went from a mark of 99 to 127. He's on 129 now. He does, interestingly enough, he still wears his tongue strap, but they've left off, he normally wears pieces or a hood, and they've left that off. Pipe Yard had a winner at Uxeter, a couple of places over the last few weeks. I think Standing Ovation, he does like this time of year. And he can put in the odd one. There was a race last year at Wincanton where him and Highland Lodge, they finished first and second. And to be honest, I think that almost knackered Highland Lodge for the season. He was sort of never, it was a real slog. Standing Ovation came out and won again after that. I think he's quite a tough individual. Was seen to good effect at the festival, finishing just out of the places. And this is his time of year, and he would be my selection for this race.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections then, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Okay, so in the 2:35, we'll be going with last year's winner, John Spirit. And the 3:10, it's highly unoriginal, but I think Tiger Roll is a real horse for the future. And in the 3:45, we'll be going for the David Pipetrain Standing Ovation.
Fantastic. Good work, Catherine. Thank you very much. Good to speak to you again, and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thanks, Mark. Cheers.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Catherine Fry on Saturday's racing at Cheltenham. We also heard from Ross Brierley on Champions Day at Ascot, a really good Saturday to look forward to, and it's all live on Racing Radio from 1:15pm. Sean Quinn, James Millman and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. We have these meetings from Cheltenham and Ascot. We've also got Catterick and Kelso alongside that in the afternoon, and evening racing on the Tapita surface at Wolverhampton. So plenty of racing to look forward to, a good Saturday in prospect, and you'll hear it all live on there. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.